If you would this evening, please turn in your Bibles to the book of Mark. The book of Mark and chapter 4. And we find our way to the end of that chapter. And we'll begin reading in just a moment at verse number 35. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Now, we weren't there when this happened. We've heard about it. We have had Bible classes and lessons and thoughts about what it would have been like to be there at this time with those disciples and our Lord. But we've all been in similar situations. They may be physical. They may be more emotional. But situations where we're completely out of our depth. Or something is going on and swirling, as it were, about us, and we have, it seems, absolutely no control over it. It rather seems to control us. If you've ever been in a tornado, you know what I'm talking about. You see the pictures and the stories of the hurricanes, and you know what I'm talking about. And the last few days in California have brought this to bear, to have us realize that, yes, there are some forces in our lives that just take on a life of their own and seem to be completely uncontrollable. As of just a short time ago, 16 people have lost their lives in the California fires. A little over 40,000 acres have been destroyed. Over 12,000 structures. And several fires have caused all of this, and they continue as we speak. And the winds seem to be picking up again in some places. And for several hours and even a day or two after this started, one of the most alarming things I would see as I watched it on television and the news reports about it, they'd talk about this fire, that one, and they would say it was 0% contained. Well, you don't need to use a zero in that case. It's not contained at all. There is no suppressing it whatsoever. It is out of control completely. And our hearts go out to everybody there affected by all of that. Nobody wants anybody to have to face what many of them are facing out there with the loss of everything. But it does bring to mind the fact, and if there's any good part to any of this for the whole of humanity, it's to remind every one of us that when we think we're in control, oftentimes we are reminded that no, we're not. When it seems as if our future is laid out before us and nothing can change that future we have in our minds, things can get out of control quickly. You know, Jesus talks in Matthew 6 about the danger and the folly of laying up treasures upon the earth. And I'm not saying that everybody who had a house destroyed was doing that. I'm just saying everything that happened reveals to us the truth for all of us, that the treasures laid up in this earth are treasures completely misplaced. Because inherently on their face we can see it ever so largely now and ever so slightly always. Thieves can break in and steal them. Rust and moth can corrupt them. And as we've seen of late, fires can destroy them. Tornadoes can blow them away. Hurricanes can wash them away. Earthquakes can bring them to the ground. And whereas we want nobody to face that kind of tragedy, it does help all of us to be reminded, even so startlingly so, that we should never be so foolish as to think we're in control of everything. And it is good for us to remember that God is the one in control, and there are forces above ours, beyond ours. We can't control the weather. We can't control the universe. We really can't control all that much. And sometimes it takes situations like this to remind us of that. But back to our story from Mark chapter 4. Which is not a story in the sense of a parable. It's a story in the sense of an account, an actual factual account that happened. The boat was being filled with water because of the storm that was out of control. And where was Jesus? Well, he was asleep. And where were his disciples? They were where you and I would be, pacing back and forth and with hands wrung and worried faces, concerned about our very lives. And what does Jesus have to do to stop everything? The storm, the winds, the waves in their tracks? He just has to say the words, peace. Be still. And no wonder these disciples were amazed at this when they said, even the wind and the sea obey him. Well, they'd never seen anything like that. It's one thing to heal those who have an illness, to cast out demons of those who are so possessed. But it's out of the question for anybody to be able to speak a word and the weather change, a storm stop. But that's exactly what happens here. And so, yes, it reminds us that there is a God above us and there are matters that are out of our control, but it's always helpful to know who is in control. And though we can't control everything, someone made everything, and that's the God of heaven. And who should we submit to then? Ourselves or our experts or our friends or our media or whoever it is that tell us they're in control? Or should we instead bow before the throne of God, knowing that he is ultimately the one in complete control? Well, you probably guessed where we're going next. And if not, you might turn with me to 189. 189. I remember as a boy going sometimes to various congregations would have singings around and would go to have a singing, and there'd always be one of the men who would stand up and sing, Master, the tempest is raging. And the smaller I was, I'd often think of this is going to be a long one. It's a two-pager, and I bet he's going to sing all the verses. Well, yes, you can't but sing all the verses here. But just pay attention to the message, to the terror at the beginning and the hope and the calm toward the end. 189. Master, the tempest is raging, the billows are tossing high. The sky is o'ershadowed with blackness, no shelter or help is nigh. Carest thou not that we perish?
How canst thou lie asleep when each moment so madly is threatening a grave in the angry deep? The winds and the waves shall obey thy will. Peace, be still. Whether the wrath of the storm-tossed sea, or demons, or men, or whatever it be, no water can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace be still, peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace, peace, be still. Master, with anguish of spirit, I bow in my grief today. The depths of my sad heart are troubled. Awaken and save, I pray. Torrents of sin and of anguish sweep o'er my sinking soul. And if my perish, I perish, dear Master, oh, hasten and take control. The winds and the waves shall obey thy will. Peace, be still. Whether the wrath of the storm-tossed sea, or demons, or men, or whatever it be, no water can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace be still, peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace, peace, be still. Master, the terror is over, the elements sweetly rest. A sun in the calm lake is mirrored, and heaven's within my breast. Linger, O blessed Redeemer, leave me alone no more. And with joy I shall make the blessed harbor and rest on the blissful shore. The winds and the waves shall obey thy will. Peace, be still. Whether the wrath of the storm-tossed sea, or demons, or men, or whatever it be, no water can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace be still, peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace, peace, be still.
And now turn to the book of Psalms and chapter 46, which speaks a bit more to this idea. Psalm chapter 46, several centuries before the events of Mark chapter 4. And we'll read the entire 46th Psalm. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just as the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The more we advance, the more we learn, the more we discover, the more we invent, the more we build, oftentimes, sadly, the more secure we feel, as if we're in charge of everything. We've learned so much. We can solve so many problems. I mean, we're this far away from a quantum computer. We've got the whole universe, as it were, as our oyster. And yet, we have to realize, no, what really matters. We don't really control it all. God took care of the sin problem and the cross. We didn't do that. And the same God who takes care of these spiritual matters over time works out all the physical as well, as long as this universe remains. There are times of difficulty and times of brightness, times of sorrow and times of glory, times when everything is at peace and at calm, and times when there is so much tumult, it seems as if there will be no end to it. But all looking back on history, we realize that everything over time evens out. And the one who stands above and beyond it all is the God of heaven, who's the same all the way through, as the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the ending, that which was and which is to come, the Almighty, as we read in Revelation chapter 1. He's the same one who described himself to Moses as, I am that I am. And he tells Moses, tell them I am, have sent you. And Jesus Christ, his Son, the same yesterday and today and tomorrow, as the last chapter of Hebrews reminds us. Above it all is the God of heaven, and he's the one we should be most concerned with and the most subject to. I have always been just a little bit uncomfortable with the phrase Mother Nature. Now, I know what people mean by that. They mean these forces of nature above and beyond our control. I mean, if you're battening down the hatches of your own home because a storm is coming, be careful because Mother Nature may come, and no telling what Mother Nature may do. And like I say, I think we all understand what we mean by the language. The problem is it unseats the real one in control of these things. There is no such thing as Mother Nature. There is a Father we call God. And he's the one in control, as we just read. He's our refuge and our strength. He's a very present time in our trouble, in our distress. Even though the mountains be removed and fall into the sea, that sounds like an earthquake to me. Though there's great shaking, again, that sounds like an earthquake or perhaps a volcano to me. No matter what this world throws at us, there's a God above it all who's ultimately the one in control. And so again, I ask, who should we bow to, this earth or the God who made it, the universe or the one who made it, ourselves or the one who made us? And the answer should be obvious. And when we get a little bit too big for our britches, as it were, and start thinking otherwise, I'm not saying that's why things like this happen, but I'm saying that's one application we should make from every time like this, reminding ourselves that there are things we can't control. But there's someone who can control everything, the God of heaven. I have always appreciated the phrase, I don't know who first came up with it, but it's so very true. The phrase that we may not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. That's so very true. We're at the beginning of a new year, 2025. This is just January. It's hard to believe that we're this far into the century, but we are. It just seemed like yesterday we were looking at Y2K and figuring out how to keep our computers from crashing and the world from ending. And here we are, a quarter century removed. But as we start this new year, it would be good for us to remind ourselves what we can't control, what we're not promised, the assurances we don't have, which none of them mean anything compared to the God who we do know, who has promised to be with us no matter what happens. He hasn't promised to take away all of our problems, but he has promised to see us through all of them if we hold his hand and trust him. He hasn't promised to remove all the diseases and pain and struggles we face, but he has promised to see us through them. And if we're on his page and beholden to his will, we can have these things, even the darker days of life, make us stronger, make us better, and make us more filled and fueled by the faith we need. Because remember, John says that which overcomes the world is our faith. If you're here this evening and not a Christian, I would encourage you to consider this as we sing in just a moment the invitation song. But there's one more song I'd like to sing first. I hesitated about this one a few moments ago. I was going back and forth, but here we are at 1022. I hope you know it. If you don't, you've heard it. Now, this is the Navy hymn. But the words are so very telling, and it speaks to exactly what we're talking about this evening.
Eternal Father, strong to save, whose arm hath bound the restless wave, who bids the mighty ocean deep his own appointed limits keep. O, hear us when we cry to thee, for those in peril on the sea. O Christ, the Lord of hill and plain, o'er which our traffic runs amain, by mountain pass or valley low, wherever, Lord, our brethren go, protect them by thy guardian hand from every peril on the land. O Trinity of love and power, our brethren shield in danger's hour from rock and tempest, fire and foe, protect them wheresoe'er they go. Thus evermore shall rise to thee glad praise from air and land and sea.
And as you consider your situation this evening, whether outside of Christ or needing to come back to him, remember, there's a God to come back to. An eternal Father, strong to save in times of difficulty and times of need and bereavement. There's always a God to come back to. If you need to come now, as together we stand and sing.